Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on May 12th. Coming up today, it's been a wonderful weekend for Kent football with Whitstable Town FC winning the FA Vase for the first time. We've got plenty of reaction from that game. We'll also hear from the organisers of a protest that took place over the weekend demanding a review of paternity leave. All that is still to come, but first, let's take a look at our top story today. The Kent Online podcast has been hearing from two former employees of the Southeast Coast Ambulance Service who say they quit because they couldn't cope working in a toxic environment. Millie's been following this story and she's got some more details for us. First of all, Millie, can you tell me where the employees were working and what were some of their specific complaints?
Both of the employees I spoke to worked at the Bredgar Road Make Ready Centre in Gillingham, and both of them described the culture there as toxic. They said there was overly strict management teams with sort of constant audits and disciplinary procedures. And there were also claims that senior staff whispered about other staff and kind of made them feel isolated or put other staff members against them too.
And what impact did all this have on their lives?
Both staff members ended up resigning over the issues that they had. One of them said it knocked the confidence out of him. And he felt that he didn't want to go into work and that when he did, no one would care about him. And he described the way he was treated as a wound that was picked at and picked at until it sort of got bigger and ended in him having a sort of emotional breakdown, really, at work.
Has there been any response from CCAM?
CCAM has responded to the claims from the former employees. They say that they don't tolerate inappropriate behaviour from anyone, regardless of their role in the organisation. And in particular, they point out an NHS staff survey that was done in October or November, so a few months after these employees left, which said that 60% of staff said they felt safe to speak up about anything that concerned them. And that was an improvement from previous years. They say that they've, you know, made a lot of progress in this area, but that they'd always urge anyone who has been a victim of harassment or bullying or has a concern to report it to them.
Now, all of this follows a national media report into the working environment at CCAM, is that right?
Yes, so this follows a GMB survey, that's the GMB union, which they say revealed a boys' club culture, again, a sort of toxic environment. And 200 people, or CCAM employees, that completed the survey said that they had suffered bullying at work.
Thanks, Millie.
Kent Online News.
A sex offender from Dover has been locked up after breaching a sexual harm prevention order. Matthew Downing was convicted of making indecent images of children in 2022, but police became aware he was accessing internet-enabled devices without permission in February. Officers found the 25-year-old, who lives in Salisbury Road, sleeping in a newly purchased car in Surrey. He's been sentenced to 5 years and 3 months. Two men have been arrested, accused of carrying out a kidnap and sex attack on a woman in Greenhithe. It's alleged to have happened in the early hours of March 21st. The victim was taken to a property against her wishes. The suspects are both in their 40s and are from Greenhithe and Chatham. A Deal man who murdered his pregnant wife more than 25 years ago will be sentenced for fresh charges next month. Andrew Griggs reported 34-year-old Debbie missing from their home in Cross Road in 1999. He was jailed for life in 2019. The 62-year-old is now accused of perverting the course of justice and obstructing a coroner in the execution of their duty. Two teenagers convicted for their role in an attack on a 16-year-old boy who suffered life-changing injuries after being chased onto train tracks in Thanet have avoided prison. Ted Warren Harvey was electrocuted after falling onto a live rail at Westgate Station in September 2021. Two boys who were 15 at the time have been given suspended sentences. They both must attend rehab and do 240 hours of unpaid work. A Chatham man who smashed a pub's windows with a shovel before leading police on a high-speed chase has avoided jail. jail. A court heard Luke Healy had been told to leave the Rose and Crown in Laysdown when he started being abusive in August last year. The 35-year-old from Roosevelt Avenue returned 6 minutes later and caused the damage. He was eventually arrested on the M2. A mum of five has told a court she stole from a supermarket in Strood to feed her children. Ramona Mamai has been in court after taking more than £180 worth of goods from Asda on three occasions. The 29-year-old from Darnley Road admitted shoplifting and has been ordered to pay compensation. A Chatham mum who stole a mobile phone and then used the bank card in the case to buy food for her children has been told to pay compensation. A court heard Louise Murphy took the phone from the Civic Centre in Dartford after it had been left on a table. It was also revealed the 35-year-old from Castle Road has been living in temporary accommodation and struggling for cash.
Kent Online News.
A diver has died during efforts to recover a sunken super yacht off the coast of Sicily. The Dutch man was reportedly hit by a piece of metal while working underwater, and the operation's now been suspended while an investigation takes place. Seven people, including Sevenoaks couple Jonathan and Judy Bloomer, were killed when the supposedly unsinkable vessel disappeared into the sea last summer. It's hoped refloating the ship will help explain what happened. Now, as we kick off Mental Health Awareness Week, a Kent mum is calling for more work in schools to raise awareness, particularly for boys. Tia Davies from Gillingham lost three friends who were struggling to cope and says she wants the stigma to change for her 13-year-old son. She started a campaign to get more people talking about their feelings.
People go back to their families, like men go back to their families, and they think about the financial thing, they think about the day-to-day life. Who have they really got to talk to? They haven't got anyone to talk to in that aspect because they're more worried about, well, I just need to get through this. I just need to make sure I've got this for my family and whatnot. And men don't talk up, and that's a massive, massive thing that bothers me. It's obviously really close to my heart because it's always men. Obviously, females, we talk to each other, we have a wine and we have a little chat and whatnot, and it's easier for us females to just have a tune wag and talk to each other. Whereas men, they find it really hard because obviously the pressure behind their families and stuff like that. You think in the UK, 76% of suicides, it is men. And that's true fact. The biggest cause of death in under 35-year-olds is suicide by men. So I want to change it. We need to change the stigma. We need to support families potentially that are suffering and going through this stuff, but most of all, raise awareness. And I think I just one day was like, I've got to do this. I've got to change something. Just before I found out Jamie Martin had taken his own life, I'd done a suicide prevention awareness course. And I was so anxious when I found out that he'd killed himself. I like to share all of my like challenges. I like to share to people like the good things that I've done. But I was a little bit stepped back and I was like, maybe I shouldn't share that I've just completed this course because I was anxious about it. And then I thought, I'm going to cry now. And then I thought, why am I not? Why can we not make a change? And why are we not trying to change the things that are happening? So I then thought, you know what, let's get together. And I've had so many people like, over 10k views on a video, my hair scraped back and I look a mess. And it's just amazing how wild it's gone because I've gone in and it's going to be a black and white theme. It's going to be like a wedding. I've got signs, banners have been made. Guys, I work for festivals. So everything that has been given to me is given to me for free. I've put in obviously the decoration prices and stuff like that. But it's all just like, I've got two international DJs that are going to be there from 6 o'clock in the evening. I've got a saxophone player. I've got my sister, bless her, Kaya, the cake lady. She does cakes and she's astonishing. Like, she's coming down. No bad days. I met them. It was really weird. I was in the Tudor Rose thinking about what I want to do and they walked in with a flyer. And No Bad Days is a hairdresser's in Upnor and they're all mental health trained. And it's just amazing how all of this stuff has come together because it's like the prizes that I've got is I've got to do an auction because I've got Luke Littler's signed top, I've got Frank Bruno's signed gloves, I've got people giving away anesthetics and nights away. And I just think for the children at such a young age, I've got a 13-year-old boy. If I can make a change now, I'd like to try and do something. So if anything so small, anything so big, let's just change it.
She's hosting an event in Sittingbourne later this month to raise money for support charities. There are plans to upgrade GP surgeries across Kent to create more than 250,000 extra appointments. The £3.2 million scheme is part of a government project to modernise practices. Hildenborough Medical Centre and Sittingbourne Memorial Centre are among the sites on the list. Plans have been put in for 400 homes on a former landfill site in North Kent. Developers want to build on the land just south of London Road in Greenhithe. The site's been left mostly empty since the mid-1990s. We're told if approved, more than a third of the properties would be affordable. It's thought a cat that went missing from its home in Dover for 3 weeks may have survived on beer. Turns out Leah had wandered into a house next door being renovated and ended up trapped beneath the floorboards. She was eventually rescued alongside a half-drunk can of beer. A vet said Leah was dehydrated but otherwise reasonably well. Kelly Cooper is the cat owner's daughter.
She went out one Friday morning. Within about 10 minutes, my dad was fairly sure that she'd disappeared, although I don't know how he knew so quickly. And then 23 days later, after we'd spoken to numerous people, posted professional leaflets, she was heard under the floorboards in the house next door. And they kindly opened the floorboards and out she came.
How did she survive in all that time?
That's something we'll never know. A tin of beer was found and we wondered if she'd had, or a half-drunk tin of beer, we wondered if she'd had a few sips of that, but she could have eaten small mammals or insects or...
rats and mice?
Possibly. Who knows? We really don't know.
Kent Online News.
Protests have taken place across Kent this weekend, calling for an improvement to paternity leave. New fathers are currently entitled to 2 weeks at less than half the national minimum wage, something campaigners say is causing financial and emotional strain. Supporters have hung baby grows on washing lines and held demonstrations in Folkestone, Chatham and Sevenoaks. Emily Black is a mum and also one of the organisers. She's been chatting to Lucy.
The UK actually has really poor paternity leave. And I can speak personally as a mum. I've got a one-year-old. My husband's freelance, so he isn't even entitled to the 2 week statutory leave. He gets absolutely nothing. So when we had our baby, he's the higher earner in our family. So we had to completely lose his income in order for him to support us in those early days. And, you know, this is really important for the mental health of new parents. It's just as much, you know, it's a huge shift for mums or for dads. And there's this research from the Dad Shift in November, which shows that 45% of new dads experience some symptoms of depression in that first year. And I think it was 85% of dads that they surveyed would say that this is the number one thing that government can do to support new dads. So it's really important, you know, it's important for the dads. It's important for the mums because they need that support as well. If there's a birthing parent recovering from birth, or if they are breastfeeding, it's really important to have a partner on hand to help with those things. And it would also be better for the economy, because if you think about how much parents have to spend on childcare, that's money that they could be spending on other things that would be going back into the UK economy. So it really does make sense, and it's what other countries are doing already.
And as a parent, and your little one's one, is that right?
Yeah, he's 16 months, I should know.
16 months, very sweet. Yeah. So, I mean, as a parent, does it kind of feel a bit frustrating that we haven't kind of caught up with sort of moving forward with this kind of thing and modernising and having dads being more on hand with sort of doing things when a baby's born?
Absolutely. It's really backwards to just see the mother as the sort of parent figure and the dad as a babysitter, essentially. Parents have an equal role in their child's life, whatever the family setup may be. It's really important for any parent to be able to have a really good bond with their child, to be there to support, and to be able to have time to adjust to that shift for themselves as well. It's a huge shift. You're playing this role in someone's life. You're probably sleep deprived, and, you know, expecting parents to muddle through or pay for childcare is just not a modern day solution, and other countries are getting this right. The UK is really quite backwards in our approach to it, and it hasn't gotten much better since my partner's dad became a dad and he had to miss the birth and go back to work the next day. It's crazy. So we really need, you know, at least 6 weeks for new dads, and their pay needs to be linked to their pay. You know, it shouldn't be such a low income while they're there, and their family's grown. You know, their needs have grown.
The government say they are carrying out a review of the parental leave system to make sure it supports working families. A new plaza and flats could be built to give a Kent shopping centre a new lease of life. The site in New Ash Green has struggled in recent years with vandalism and anti-social behaviour. Now the new owners have asked Sevenoaks Council for funding to pay for upgrades, including a play area, seating and room for pop-up traders. Plans for a 24-hour Starbucks drive-thru in Ashford have been rejected. Cafe bosses wanted to build it next to the food warehouse at the retail park in Sevington. Councillors have refused the application because of concerns about the loss of parking spaces. The opening date's been revealed for a new restaurant and cafe in Sandgate. A husband and wife team have been renovating the site on the high street, documenting their progress on socials. Mimosa is due to launch on Sunday. Now, follow Kent Online on socials to see pictures of how work is progressing on a new retail park in Ashford. Home Bargains and Costa Coffee are expected to become the first tenants at the Drovers site. It's been 4 months since construction started, and the first phase is due to be finished later this year.
Kent Online News.
A Kent property tycoon has decided to sell a piece of boxing memorabilia, saying it's time to pass it on to another collector. Fergus Wilson has owned the WBF heavyweight belt awarded to Joe Bugner since 2008. It'll go under the hammer at auction in July. Now, staff from Ascend School in Chatham have received special recognition at the Kent Teacher of the Year Awards. Last December, the medical lead and her team at Bradfield's Academy were faced with a critical life-threatening incident when a student suddenly collapsed during PE. She was unresponsive and stopped breathing, but staff delivered CPR and used a defibrillator and were able to revive her before emergency services arrived. Laura was among the group that saved her life.
Back in December 2024, we had a student who unfortunately had an incident where she passed away, her heart stopped, so we did CPR, used our school defib, and we eventually revived her, and after a coma for 3 days and 4 months in the hospital, she's finally returning to the academy. So that is why I've been nominated for the award with my team. My boss Amanda Patterson is also going to be here tonight, and our colleague Charlie Rhubarb is also going to be here.
I mean, what an incredible story, and for the whole medical team there to spring into action. Obviously you hope nothing will ever happen like that, but how are you feeling since it happened? You must just go into action at the time, but you get to reflect on it afterwards.
Everyone keeps saying how proud they are of us and how happy they are that we're here. And don't get me wrong, I'm absolutely thrilled to be receiving an award and some recognition. But you've never want to be proud of something like that because you didn't want it to happen in the first place, because something tragic happened. But we were able to put our training into place. And every first aider says, oh, you might not ever need this, but it's best to have it and know about it. And when we did need it, it was almost as cliche as let's ride a bike again. And we knew what we were doing and we worked really well as a team and managed to save our life.
Absolutely. And as you say, she's going to be coming back to Bradfield's because, correct me if I'm wrong, she was diagnosed with an underlying condition, is that right, that made her heart stop?
She was diagnosed as Brugada syndrome, which is an underlying condition which just causes the heart to stop out of nowhere. There's no pre-warning signs, and as far as I'm aware, there was no medical cause for it. One minute she was talking about her favourite Christmas gift in the in front of assembly, and then the next she walked into PE and she fell down and started seizing, and then her heart stopped. So it was a pure medical mystery as to why it happened, but I'm just so glad she's with us here today.
And tell us how many are part of your team.
So there's three of us currently. One of us is on maternity leave, so we have got maternity cover, which is Charlie Rhubarb, who's an ex-paramedic who just happened to be on her second day in the academy when this whole event took place, thank God. And she really did help out. And then currently we've got me, Laura, Mandy, and a lady called Lauren who's helping us out. And then Kirsty as well.
Kent Online Sport.
Football now, and it's been a massive weekend for Whitstable Town, who have won the FA Vase for the first time in their history. It was touch and go as they came from behind to beat AFC Whiteleaf 2-1 in extra time at Wembley. 7,000 fans travelled from Kent to cheer the team on and celebrate the victory. Player manager Jamie Coyle spoke to reporters after the match.
I feel okay. I think the adrenaline's got me through today. Obviously, it's a hugely proud moment for me. I thought the boys were absolutely outstanding today, and I thought they were a better side in the first half. They had a lot of possession, But I think the game plan worked in terms of just trying to stay in the game, even at 1-0 down. I thought our athleticism and our youth would come through towards the end. And I thought the second half and an extra time, the boys were unplayable at times. We've done a lot of work and a lot of research. We knew that they've got some individual players that are far superior than this level. They shouldn't be playing at this level. And you see that in the first half. They had loads of rotations and they played through midfield really well. But they didn't really create that many opportunities to actually score, which was good apart from their goal. But we just said, you know, I think they were. There's a lot of them that are dropping, getting tired towards the early part of the second half, and I thought that just gave us a little bit of confidence to know that we've got that youth in our team, and the changes from the side. As I said, the boys were brilliant.
Ronald Sitale as well getting the winner. I mean, he's from a professional background as well. He had that fitness, didn't he? He needed it.
Yeah, well, he should have scored two more before then, I thought. I gave him a bit of grief in the change room there. He had a great opportunity from about 2 yards out when he's hit the post, but it's his work ethic, and that's what we've tried to bring to this football club, is just people that are going to work really hard and be together and provide the right environment for them to grow. And it's a great platform today for some of them youngsters to go and showcase what they're about. I thought Harvey Smith was one of the best players on the pitch today. I don't know who voted him for man of the match, but I thought he was unplayable again. And I'm really pleased for him because he's still a youngster as well.
You said before the game it was going to be the pinnacle of your career. I guess it was that.
Yeah, it can't get any better than, you know, growing up playing football in your local park and dreaming of playing at your national stadium, and to deliver a win and a trophy in my 25th year of playing non-league football. I keep using the proud word, but you know what the boys have delivered for us and the football club today. It's most definitely a time to go out on a high.
Harvey Smith got the equaliser. He spoke to our reporter Tom Reeves after the game.
Still hasn't really sunk in, like, especially walking out on the pitch earlier yesterday, and then we saw it. It was like, how are you even playing on this? To go out today, see it with the 9,000 fans, I think it was, from Whitstable, it's unreal. Day was amazing as well.
And to come from behind as well, I mean, you know, not the sort of first half you wanted, but, you know, just sort of, I suppose, dug in and just made sure you were still in the game.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think first half, I don't think we were bad at all.
No.
I think we just, there was a little couple things that we needed to correct. And then obviously going in at 1-0, we was in the change room. Everyone sort of had the feeling we was all together still. We knew what we was correcting. We went out there and I think you saw in the second half, like, the game sort of flipped.
Yeah. Talk me through your goal.
No, to be fair, Jetche got the ball on the side, cut it back to me, and then obviously I'm always going to shoot. I didn't have much chances in the first half, so as soon as it came to me, I was thinking shoot. Weren't the best finish, but it ended in the back of the net, so I can't really complain.
Celebrating in front of those fans, what was that?
I can't even. I don't have words. Just amazing. Obviously, our fans have been with us all season. Cold, rainy days, they've been there. 300 fans. We couldn't go 0-3 on like trophies and finals, so we had to get one for them, and I'm happy it was this one.
Did that really spur you on today, sort of in terms of what you'd had before? Because you'd actually only lost inside 90 minutes once in 27 games before today.
Yeah. I mean, the last 27 games that we've played, we've had a great run, and like you said, there was one game where we conceded in the last minute, and then unfortunately lost on penalties, which is hard to take. But the way we bounced back was unreal. We come back in, went training on Thursday. Boys are still together. Like, we've moved that loss out of the way. Go to next season. But yeah, no. Boys bounced back today and brought it home.
To tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu will be playing for a place in the quarterfinals of the Italian Open later. She's going up against fellow former US Open champion Coco Gauff. The 22-year-old from Orpington says she's looking forward to testing herself. And in cricket, Kent have lost to Glamorgan in their latest county championship match. They were beaten by an innings and 161 runs after a disappointing performance at Canterbury. Kent are now fourth in the Division 2 table. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.